Hey, this is Anthony with MakeWeirdMusic.com, and I am here with Ed Heisler.
How you doing, Anthony?
I'm all right. Thanks for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Thank you. So why don't you tell us a little about who you are and what you do and why you're here?
Well, I'm Ed Heisler, a.k.a. Electric Ed, with Mad Hatter Guitar Products. We sell products for basically a whole electronic system for electric guitars, a replacement kit, upgrade to improve and enhance your tone.
Tell us about how it is an upgrade.
A lot of what you find in guitars, especially those made in Asia, is very subpar, because even Mexico, they tend to use cheaper components. I mean, some of the guitars coming out of those countries are great guitars. I think some of the best guitars right now are coming out of Korea, actually. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. And there's some stuff coming out of China that's really well made, and as well as obviously Mexico with the Mexican Strats and Mexican Telecasters. A lot different than when I was a young kid. Started on playing, we had these guitars that, the action was like,
right.
2 inches off, and it was just like, they were garbage, where that's totally changed today. Hmm. The quality is much better, but in order for manufacturers to save money, they cut costs wherever they can. And and one of the places is the electronics. So a lot of people buy, these great playing guitars, go to the music store, and they play, like, wow, these play great. Hmm. And start thinking, well, if I upgrade to pickups, to like maybe some DiMarzios or Seymour Duncan or whatever, this would be a great sounding guitar too. But what they don't realize is you're putting the pickups into a guitar that plays good, but yet you're putting it through potentiometers and output jacks and switches that are they're garbage, because that's where they're cutting costs. And if you don't mind, I have a box, I have this box here.
Sure.
This is called my box of doom, okay? this is what I pull this stuff out of. This is out of the Squire Strat.
I'm going to put it down here so we can see.
See, this is about as cheesy and cheap as it gets.
Now, some people, myself included, I wouldn't be able to look at that and go, that looks like junk versus that looks fantastic. So tell me, how do you identify junk?
Well, it's, it's pretty much the way I can identify is pretty much anything coming out of Asia is junk. Okay. Anything coming out of, China or whatever is going to be junk.
And as far as musical electronics.
Yeah. Obviously, your iPhone was probably made there. So
right, yeah, I'm thinking there's probably some variants.
But as far as guitar electronics, we're speaking. And what you'll find a lot of these is sometimes you'll notice that when you turn it on, it's like the volume's there as you're throwing it down, and all of a sudden, boom, it's gone. There's no graduation of it.
Right.
What you normally would have. And a quality pot. Mm. And the switches, the contacts are not that good as either. It's just, when you feel it, it just feels cheap. It doesn't feel as good. And what we use at Mad Hatter is a much better quality product. And what we did was
before you go there, I'm curious, what are these components made of?
Oh, geez. It's just, this is the cheapest stuff they can find. They're supposed to be carbon, but really it's more or less the quality of it,
Okay.
Yeah, it's the quality of how they put it together.
And what...
Because they're such mass produced.
Right.
That it's the quality's not the issue. The issue is to make it as quick and as fast as possible.
What are some of the other side effects of poor quality in terms of sound or even the physical use?
Oh, tone.
Tone.
So, first of all, these are like 500, I think these are 250K, okay? Uh-huh. And sometimes you'll measure them and you'll realize that it's like, instead of measuring 250K, it may measure 190, 180K, or it might not, it just won't even be close.
So they won't meet specifications?
Not at all.
The quality assurance is fairly low.
Yeah, there would be no quality assurance.
Okay.
The only thing they're looking to see is that it works.
So you might pick up two of the same guitar, mm-hmm. one made right after the other, and they'll sound very different.
Oh, yeah.
One might sound much worse than bad, and the other might just sound bad. But it'll never sound great.
Well, and that, there's more to that than just, that's pretty much any guitar out there.
Okay.
And I like to talk about that eventually, about the characteristics of a guitar.
Yeah. Is that what makes, like over time when your pots start cracking, you know, you start turning
they'll
them
get dirty.
And crackle.
Yeah. And that, you know what, and that's pretty much all pots.
Okay.
Eventually, I mean, even the, you know, the pots that we use were designed after the great pots used in guitars in the 50s. Yeah. You know, I basically went to CTS Corp and I said, look, I want a pot that is basically what you guys were manufacturing in 1950s. Yeah. That we're putting the 59 Flame Tops and
right.
the 1960s Strats and 50s Strats and stuff. And
what is a, just so we can start with the basics, like mm-hmm. what is a potentiometer and what does it do?
Okay, a potentiometer is basically, it's originally what they used to call them as rheostats, okay? What it does is it tapers, we use an audio taper, okay? Mm-hmm. And as opposed to a linear.
Okay.
And audio basically curves off the sound, okay? Mm-hmm. And what you were doing with an electric guitar, what you're doing on a volume is basically when you start rolling off the volume, what you're doing is you're going from one center wiper of the potentiometer, okay, and to another one that's hooked up to ground. Mm. And when you hook up the ground is when you're shorting out the sound,
mm.
okay? And as you slowly roll it down to towards ground, take the signal towards ground, basically you're quieting, making the sound more quiet
oh.
to eventually towards...
So it's okay. routing, it's rerouting
it's
the
rerouting
signal.
It's rerouting the signal, yep.
Into yeah. a wire that has no effect on your output,
no.
other than buzzing, if you don't have good ground.
If you don't have good ground, yeah, that's a whole nurse.
Okay, all right, cool.
Yeah.
So when you turn it, mm-hmm. is there like two contacts inside
There's,
or something that slide?
It's basically
or
you have a wiper in the center, okay,
uh-huh.
and then it sits in the center, and then you have two contacts on each side, and it's just, you know, that resistance goes back and forth.
I see, okay. Yeah. All right,
you're basically you're sweeping from one side to the other side.
And that's for volume.
Mm-hmm.
What
for
about
volume.
Tone?
Tone, what you're doing there is it's the same concept, but usually you're only using two contacts.
Uh-huh.
And if you see here, you have a capacitor, okay? And different capacitors basically roll off, give you a different dynamic in rolling off the tone.
Mm.
Okay. And plus you have a resistance here going through the volume pot. So this actually is like the guitars in the 80s where they had no tone pot, okay?
Mm.
They would tend to be brighter.
Right.
Yeah, you know, because the reason why is because you did not have the tone pot in the circuit, which is going to create a little bit of roll off of some of the highs,
okay.
just naturally by itself.
So when you roll the tone knob all the way down and it sounds mellow, what are you doing electronically?
What you're doing is you're adding this capacitor into it, and this capacitor is going to roll off those frequencies.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So when you change the capacitance there,
it's going to change the.
It'll change the character of the high end or of the whole signal.
The whole signal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's why, you know, with our kits, we design them to where you can easily grab different capacitors and you know swap them out and try them and see what you like and.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you know there's so many characteristics you know that you can find just by you know you sit there all day having fun
right
you know a lot of times sometimes I'll take a capacitor and well here I'll if I can show you right
yeah,
here
yeah sure
see in this guitar here let me can see that there I've added you know we have the polymer caps and I added this one here And this one here, what it does is it gives a little, when you roll it off, it doesn't go as deep as most caps.
Mm.
So it gives you a smaller frequency range, okay? But yet, it gives you a more, greater distance to dial in that frequency.
Interesting.
If that makes sense.
So you have more granularity and mm-hmm. control over those frequencies.
Yeah.
So a little turn on another capacitor would be the same as a larger turn on this capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and what? So we have that. Yeah. So you can easily just swap them out, and that's what we designed. We, you know, the Fenders use the Orange Drop. You know, I have one guitar where I bought some Bumblebee type caps
mm-hmm.
that used to be used in the old Gibsons. You know, and put
mm-hmm.
those on there. And it's just, you know, there's the Russian makes some great new old stock Russian ones you can find online.
Mm-hmm.
You can find. The oil, you know, they're the oil-filled ones, and then the bumblebees and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Sometimes you can spend hundreds of dollars on caps. Because some of the old vintage ones, I mean, people
wow.
get serious about it, yeah.
So the variety of tone you could get out of one instrument is pretty significant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just
yeah.
by switching out capacitors and changing your potentiometer. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the yeah, and you can spend a lot of money on capacitors too. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can spend up to hundreds of dollars. Mm-hmm. What's my train of thought?
Oh, I'm sorry. Are these your pots inside too?
Yeah, this is our kit here. This is the our single volume dual tone kit. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's basically what you'd normally use in a Stratocaster.
Okay.
You
know, what does a dual tone give you? A lot of guitars I see have one tone knob.
Yeah. So well, Fender used two. Uh-huh. Okay. And what they did was, on the original ones, they had one for the neck and then one for the middle, and then the bridge was direct. Mm. It basically bypassed the tone, so it was really bright.
I see.
So, but what I've done here is I used the first tone pot. I tied the neck onto, or the bridge pickup rather, onto the 250 side, mm-hmm. 250K side of the pot, because mm-hmm. we have a dual value pot, which I can go into and discuss. And then I put the neck on the 500K to make it brighter. Yeah, so we can change the different values of them.
Wow. Yeah. So the whole guitar, all the pickups, you have much more control over how they might sound.
Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, I mean, every guitar is different. Every guitar has a characteristic of its own. Mm. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, picking up two different guitars
right.
that were made in the same plant, how they sound different. Mm-hmm. I remember when Eric Clapton Blackie came out, and set that down there. When that guitar came out, remember that one? They took his Blackie and they basically took it to the Fender Custom Shop, and they, you know, every nick and every
right,
little
yeah.
thing, you
the
know,
the relic series.
Yeah,
of it, yeah.
They
yeah.
measure the capacity of the amps and the pots and everything, and try to make it exactly identical. And I was at a store where they had two of them. Mm. They just got two of them in, you know. And we played one, and I was playing one. And I was like, "Wow, this thing's nice." And then I grabbed the other one. We're all looking at it, seeing it, and unbelievable how different it sounded. Just it didn't ring out as much as the first one did. It didn't. Mm. And you know, because the wood's different, you know, mm. the whole the you know the different even though the custom shop sat there, made sure it had the same line, you know,
right,
same
right.
resistance on all the pickups and the potentiometers were same. It still was different.
Different trees, different wood densities. Those affect the vibrations
everything.
Of the
yeah.
strings. And
yeah, I mean, no two guitars are alike. Just mm. like you and me.
Right.
You know, we're not alike. I think every guitar has its own characteristic.
Mm.
You know, and it's just and that's basically how Mad Hatter started. Mm. Was based on that concept. I walked in the music store one day, and like hanging on the wall was Les Paul Standard, mm. a black one with factory gold. It just, you know, boom, it just blinged, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to have that, you know. And I picked it up, and it's got a little bit of fatter neck, and it played great. But I noticed it wasn't ringing, you know. Sometimes you pick it,
right.
and you just feel that little vibration. I was like, yeah, this isn't really ringing, but man, it plays so nice. So I thought, you know, plus it looked cool, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to have it. So saved my money, got it home. And then I started first thing I did was I upgraded the pots. I pulled the pots out of it, okay. And they were, you know, Gibson pots and stamped with the Gibson medallion. You know, they claim they're CTS, but I don't know. But I put it on a meter, and the 500K pot was reading about 300.
Mm.
So it was way off, and it was like, you know, so I took them out, I put new pots in there, and I started putting different caps and different pickups, and I just like, yeah, maybe not this one. I tried this type of pickup, and I just kept going back and forth just trying to find the right tone for that guitar.
Hmm.
While I was doing it, I was like, wouldn't it be nice? You know, every time I did, I had to pull out my solder iron, plug it in, wait for it to heat up,
right?
You know, and then solder it back in there. It's like, what a pain. Hmm. Wouldn't it be nice if I just had like some switches or something? And that was the first design. Was I sat down on pencil and paper and etched out the what became the Solaris tone shaping system.
Right.
And that's with a routing board with little switches on it that you can change whether we want to go to 250K or 500K and stuff like that.
And this is a hobby for you, right?
It started out that way.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, it's just like a lot of guitar players. You know, it's It was just something that started as a hobby, and now it's growing into a business.
Interesting.
Know? So yeah.
So it started out with pencil and paper.
Yeah.
And you're manipulating electronics in this Gibson guitar.
Yeah.
And then when did you decide I need to have my own system that is consistent?
About that same time. Yeah.
Right about then.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, and I sat down and then you know just you know manufactured a board and then that was our first generation. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've at the end of last year, we decided, you know what, how can we improve on this? Mm-hmm. How can we make it better? And we looked at, you know, what my customer service emails, you know, were and stuff. And I thought, okay, I kind of did an evaluation. I thought, you know what, I need to eliminate the board. And that's when we came up with the Terminator system.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I have a system with a board.
You have the original Sauer's tone shaping system.
Okay.
Yeah, and now we have the Terminator system, which is more, if you understand guitar electronics, you look at the system, it's like, oh, I know exactly what to do here. So now you have total, complete control. Hmm. You know, you can basically take any schematic online, just Google whatever, and you say, oh, you know what, I could try that with this, you know. You can use our schematics that we sent out the product, mm-hmm. or you can, you know, use the, you know, whatever you find online.
And that involves changing capacitance, and do you have different kinds of pots with different values too?
So let me talk a little bit about our pot.
Yeah, sure.
So that was the main thing that I really wanted to make sure, because this is where it all starts. Mm-hmm. This is where the pickups go to, you know, the switch in here. Now the switch, let me jump over here a little bit. We use Switchcraft toggle switches and CLR selector switches.
And CLR is a company.
It's this company, and this is what, you know. I didn't bring any Switchcraft with me. I'm sorry about that. But that's the toggle switches you find on Les Pauls.
Oh, okay. The three-way.
Three-way, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And we use Switchcraft. That's what, you know, Gibson's been using forever. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the best. You know, they're made here in the United States. This is CLR. These are made over in North Carolina. This is what, you see the spring here, that's how you usually tell. These are the ones that Fender's been using, Leo started using back in the 50s. Mm. And been, you know, and all the American-made Strats, you're gonna find these in there, you know. And they're just much better quality. You can tell just by moving, it's just, you know, it just feels much more solid.
Right.
You know, you're not gonna have an issue. So this is a new Terminator system where we mounted the terminal to the side. And so on a Strat, your pickup wires would go here, mm-hmm. and we put, and every component, we have dead terminals where you can land. Like in this case, we have two dead terminals, so you can land the center tap wires on a pickup. So a pickup wire, you have a signal wire, you have a ground wire, mm-hmm. typically a two wire, and then on a humbucker, you have your middle wires for each coil where they come together, mm-hmm. north south poles come together of each coil. And those, that's your, called your center tap. And like a lot of times when people try to turn their humbucker into a single coil, they're basically dropping at the ground there.
Right.
So anyways, we have terminals here where you can land those as
okay.
well, do mods and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah. This one here is our HSH switch.
Okay.
What this one does is for like a guitar with a humbucker, single humbucker, when you go to positions two, you're gonna split the coil of the humbucker
right.
with the metal, and
right.
then the same thing on position four. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the pot, I went to CTS, and I said, look, this is what I want. You know, I need a pot. I want it to be smaller in diameter, so we went with a 17 millimeter diameter mm-hmm. instead of the normal big fat ones. But I said, internally, I want it to be the same as what you guys were making in the 50s, mm-hmm. a carbon pot. I want it to be a brass bushing, brass end, with the knurled, the same, I think it's 22 knurled teeth end here, split. And then what I did is I made the shaft here, the bushing length, mm-hmm. 12 millimeters. And the reason why I did that, because I wanted to be able to fit comfortably in guitars with pickguards like Stratocasters, Telecasters, whatever,
right.
Ibanezes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then guitars that have car tops like Gibsons and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it does. It fits. I have yet to find a guitar where this has not fit in.
Mm.
It's with a 12 millimeter length, it can fit in any guitar that's manufactured today. So, and then we went with then the bushing diameter, we went with 8 millimeter. And the reason why is because our target market is to upgrade those guitars made overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And they use an 8 millimeter hole.
I see.
Which is a smaller hole. So this would, so most, we don't want our customers to have to be drilling out the hole.
Right.
Make it larger if they
right.
don't have to.
Yeah.
But with this one, you won't have to do that.
Mm.
And then what we have, although with our yin yang push pull pots, they are 3/8, so you would have to make those a little bit bigger, but we'll talk about this in a minute. But then I also wanted dual value, 250K, 500K.
Okay, I was wondering why the dual pots over there.
Because I want it to be as universal as possible. Mm-hmm. So that way, you know, Strats and them are 250K, mm-hmm. or Gibsons are 500K. Mm-hmm. And then with the new Terminator system, we can bridge them together to where they're 750K.
So oh, you know, interesting.
Get even brighter.
Wow.
Yeah, so we have three options now with the pot. Hmm. So, yeah, so we have an exclusive deal with CTS Corporation for this pot. We're the only one that they will make this for.
Wow.
Yes.
So in the case of, like, my custom 7-string has a tone bypass circuit, mm-hmm. where you turn the tone all the way up and then it effectively shuts off the tone knob. You don't really need that because 750K should allow everything, right?
Well, 750K would be, it'd be real bright.
Really bright.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably as bright as having nothing on it, right?
Not quite that bright, but pretty close, okay. Yeah, pretty close. But yeah, but it still gives you that that option to roll it down to where you'll get that, you know.
The really mellow sound.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, so you can get the mellow sound if you want to.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
And are guitar companies picking up on these?
We have a few guys that are using our products. Uh-huh. MAP Guitars in California.
Okay.
JR Guitars Customs in Montreal, Canada.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, James up there is a great guy. Uh-huh. He builds some of his builds he's done for the Alzheimer's Association, giveaway stuff. So
that's cool.
He loves to give back, and he calls me up, says, or not call me up, but he'll send me emails. Uh-huh. He'll say, this is what I want to do, and he'll just something goofy off the wall. I mean, he's always thinking outside the box, and I love working with him.
These are so flexible that any idea he has, you can figure it out.
We figure it out, yeah. So the map, we're doing a double neck together right now.
Cool.
A Telecaster, which is kind of cool.
So what do these builders think of the electronics?
Oh, they love them. Yeah, they love them. And they're putting our card on there as a hang tag, and letting customers know that, you know, it's a quality product inside. Mm-hmm.
So. Is it substantially more expensive, or is it a get what you pay for kind of thing, or?
Yeah, you know, the price point of our products is, for example, let me grab a kit here. This is our single volume, single tone 3SS kit, okay? And this is $79.99. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go out and buy all brand new CTS pots, CLR selector switches, let me open this up here. Just kind of see what you're going to get when you open it up. You get the Switchcraft output jack, CLR selector switch. And so that's what our price point is on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
comparatively, if you were to go out and buy all these components, you're going to be paying at least half that, if not more.
Huh.
You know. And if you're a do-it-yourself kind of person, you know, it makes it a lot easier. And then you got all the flexibility of the product itself and what it can
right.
do.
Right. So it's a complete electronics replacement system.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about pickups? Are pickups also variable in quality, or are they fairly consistent?
Oh, they're variable too.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's one manufacturer, I was going back to the LS Paul, I was trying different pickups in there, mm-hmm. and one manufacturer that's very boutique-y that, you know, I mean, the average single pickup's like $130 kind of thing.
Wow.
You know? And I bought one, and it was, put it in there, and it was, they had it out of phase. And I actually called the shop up, well, you used it, and like, so, you know, even their quality is like, you know, you just don't know, you know? And so it's something that, you know, you just have to really stay on top of, you know, is, you know, you don't know what you're, you know.
Right.
So.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not often you see that, but, you know, it does happen. Mm-hmm. So this kit here, our SS kit, is basically set up. You see our instructions here. What we've done here is this one here allows, with the instructions, allows you to run the person that ordered this, wanted this kit. I just put this together for a customer, actually. What they're doing here is they want to run their bridge pickup at a different K, 500K or 250K, and then their neck at a different one. So that's what this wiring diagram shows, how you can actually do that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and then you can mix it up, you know, if you want to put, you know, sometimes some people put like their bridge pickup volume, you know, they'll do the volume at 500K and then they'll do the tone pod at 250K, you know, or something, you know, on the same pickup. Mm. You know, so it's just 100% complete flexibility. And on these two, we also have a dead terminal for mods or whatever, you know, you can do. We color code it. Our green ones are goes to 11 volume pod.
Yeah.
And then the red ones, they're our killer tone pod.
Okay.
So that way you can easily tell which you're using the right one. And then what we do is we black terminals, we color them black. Those are for ground. So if you ever see a black terminal, it's ground. The red terminals are 500K, and then the blue are 250K.
These are definitely nicer or upgraded from the first
generation. First kit. Yeah. The first generation you just plugged into the board, but
right? Yeah.
You didn't have a lot of the. You can do a lot more. Like if you wanted to add a treble bleed, like some people like to do on their volume pods, now you can do that by just putting it in, you know, in parallel with the pot like you normally would. So like I was saying, you can almost do, you know, you can grab any schematic offline if you just follow it.
How consistent are your parts?
Our parts are within 10%.
Okay.
Yeah, the values are all within 10%.
So 500K will never be below 450 or
exactly.
Higher than 550.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's usually they've been dropping in around 480, some of the 500, but you know, and the same thing with the 250K values, which is the bottom, which is the top part, and they've been the same thing, you know. Usually you don't see them below 225K. I see them around 235, 240.
Do you get a cleaner tone, like with less noise? Or, you know, when I put mine in, I was pretty astonished at the clarity that I heard.
Yeah.
But it could have been several factors, you know.
That's really the quality of the pot and the switch. Mm. Because the contacts are so much better with CLR. Mm. This pot is designed with the carbon. It's where it's going to the carbon potentiometer, where it's going to be a much better, cleaner tone. Mm. You know, because it's just better manufacturing, better components, all put together. You know,
are there any manufacturers out there putting out anything close to this quality?
Oh yeah, I think there's a couple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are, and you know, there's. You know, even you can, you know, just go online and just buy some CCS pots, you know, that are, and as well as, you know, CLR, I mean, you can solder it together yourself.
I see.
Yeah. But what you won't have is, you know, the flexibility of this dual value pot, and as well as the ability to be able to quickly and easily, you know, switch combinations or capacitors and what have you.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So that's the benefit we have. You know, there's other solder systems out there too, but I've noticed that they're on a board, so they basically either fit strictly into a Stratocaster or strictly into a Les Paul.
Okay. Where you're more universal and expandable.
Exactly.
Okay. Customization.
Yeah. So our this kit here, you know, this it can go into a Telecaster, it can go into a two pickup Ibanez or a Shaler or LTD ESP or whatever,
right.
Dual humbucker or whatever,
cool.
And you know, it'll fit just fine in there.
And you make other products like kill switches and what
else?
Yes,
we do make kill switches. We have, let me show you here. These here, we were going to the shows, and constantly people come up and say, "You have kill switches. You have kill switches." You know, I have to admit, I'm thinking. You know, old school, hit a button and it kills everything, it shuts it off.
Right.
Okay. And little did I know that they were talking about a momentary switch. A momentary switch is when you push something and then let go, it comes back on.
Uh-huh.
So and what they're doing is they hit them. Then I seen Eddie Van Halen had one on his guitar.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay. So my son and I sat down. Basically, I went out and I ordered a bunch of switches. Mm. A bunch of switches. And we sat down, we just plugged them in, we're just trying them all.
Uh-huh.
And we came up with this one here. And we just love this kill switch. We call it a rapid fire kill switch. Okay. And it's a momentary switch. You hit it, it bounces right back. Uh-huh. You know, and when it's mounted on a guitar, you can just go crazy with it. And what we liked about it was one thing was it really bounced back really mm-hmm. nice. The second thing we liked about it is the hole is slightly bigger than a 3/8 hole, but it's not like some of those kill switches where the hole is like almost like a 1-inch diameter. Right, right. I mean, you're boring out a huge hole.
Well, Buckethead has, I think, like an arcade button.
He has an arcade button, and I've had people ask me about those, uh-huh. and you know, they see him in his Les Paul, and I say, you know, Gibson had to manufacture that a lot. That's like a like a 3/4-inch or
1-inch hole.
Yeah, that's a huge hole. So, like, do you really want to do that to your guitar?
Right.
But some people do, and that's fine. But
so these switches, you didn't customize. I mean, you probably added your own wiring.
Yeah. So what we do is we make them. We put them to this state. You know, solder them up. We check them out. Uh-huh. And then, you know, we give instructions on how to mount them in the guitar. Mm-hmm. So when you buy them, you know, they're going to come in this packaging. You know, you're going to get a Mad Hatter Guitar product sticker. Mm-hmm. You know. Then one of our cards, so which has our website and our information, so you can contact us, you know, be something, customer service line, basically. And then we have instructions, you know, and how to install it. You know, make sure you're drilling the right size hole. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a pick guard, you know, you can drill a clearance hole. If it's a carved top guitar, you want to go a little bit smaller and kind of thread it in there. And,
right.
You know, so yeah, I mean, these are $7.99. They're not that much money. And
yeah.
And we also for a couple bucks more, we'll put an 18-inch lead on it.
Okay.
So if you want to put that kill switch up here whatever, you know, you can expand it out and.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Can we get a demo?
On a kill switch?
No, on the electronics of that guitar.
Sure.
You brought two guitars with you today?
I did. Now let me plug in. This is a Reverend Warhawk. It's a 390 model. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Reverends, they're out of Livonia, Michigan.
No.
This guitar is made in Korea. It's all Carina wood. These pickups are their pickups. This is
looks like a P90.
Yeah, all three P90s.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've kind of modded it a little bit. I've added some Tone Pros bridge, and then obviously our systems in it. Our single volume dual tone, 5-way, and then you know with the switchcraft output jack, and what I have right now is I have it set up for 250k in the volume, and then I have the bridge pickup on a tone here at 250, and then the neck on a tone here at 500k, and then the middle is on 500k. So basically, what I have right now is I have it set up on the bridge pickup. Roll out the tone a little bit.
It's such a severe change. And very smooth.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna find it's very smooth. Now obviously we don't have a lot of volume or a lot of, you know, with pedals and stuff, it's gonna always act differently. Now that's on 500K with a tone.
You can tell just by listening to it.
You know, you'll notice the difference when you A-B it, mm-hmm. you know. And sometimes what I'll do is I'll tie a little jumper on the 500K side and the 250K side and just kind of, or sometimes take a little mini toggle switch and just kind of flip it back and forth and just try it. Which actually I'll show you here on this Telecaster next, something I put together. But anyways, you get an idea.
Yeah.
What's nice about here is, by doing middle on this one here, it kind of gives you more of a blend.
Yeah.
And then there's four.
So. Awesome. What was this? How would you describe the tone of this guitar before you modded all the electronics?
Nothing like that. I had a friend of mine, he's an amazing player, you know, Berkeley graduate and everything, and he picked up this guitar and he was just like blown away. He was just like, oh geez. You know, I had it plugged into my pedal board and stuff, and he was just like, he just hasn't, you know.
So these electronics can turn a good cheap guitar into an incredible cheap guitar.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, for a Mexican Strat, that's okay. I mean, it's great. Some of many of the components, there used to be a lot of components were made in the United States and then shipped down there. Mm-hmm. I think all the pick guards are still, last I heard.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, like the same alders, you know, maple necks and everything, but the only thing different is electronics. And, you know, a lot of people buy them and they upgrade the pickups. When you put our system in it, you know, in addition to the pickups, now you have a guitar that, you know, you can pick up on Craigslist for, what, $300 or something,
right.
You know?
Right.
You know, that now is, you know, valued at, you know, considerably more, you know, $500, $600, $800
right.
is what, you know, it's not valued that much more, but it sounds as good as a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, like a Fender Strat or something.
But you would probably upgrade a $2,000 guitar too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, that was the first Les Paul.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, I've done a few guitars.
Ibanez Gem.
Exactly, your Ibanez, that's one. Yeah.
I couldn't believe the difference, you know, it was stunning. And when I took it home, it was like a new guitar. It sounded like a new guitar, probably because the pots, you know, being 17, 18 years old, probably paper on the inside and, you know, junky components, but it sounded like a brand new guitar. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you start hearing, you tell me, I mean, the dynamics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know. Get all new sounds out of
the
it.
The sensitivity, the, yeah, I mean, the mid-ranges, and I mean, it's just like, it opens up a span of what you're missing. I mean,
it felt like that, like Allegra D commercial or something, where it starts out, everything's hazy, you know, and then they take the medicine, and then the whole screen wipes, and suddenly the color is, you know, vibrant and very clear and clean. That's how it felt, you know, picking up the guitar after putting in those electronics. It was night and day.
Yeah, and it makes you want to pick it up more.
Right.
And it's just try to get more out of it and
learn.
It's like, you know, our slogan right now is hear what your guitar is missing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what, because it truly is. When you put our system in there, you just think, wow, that's, I didn't know that, you know.
Right.
Those tones were there. But they're there. They're hidden in the guitar. I mean, and it's like, yeah. Good. Maybe I'll pull up this Telecaster here.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Unplugged there. Yeah, I put them in a lot of my guitar. I get people that send me emails all the time just like, wow, I can't believe the difference.
And,
you know, the ones that really really shine through are the people that, a friend of mine, he has a Fender bass made in Indonesia, Squire bass,
yeah.
You know. And he said, he plays at a church, and he took it there and he put my system in his guitar and he put it there. Went there and plugged into it, and he said, even people that don't even play instruments were kind of like, wow. Did you get a new guitar? Looks the same.
Yeah.
Because it was such a huge upgrade.
Yeah.
He just, you know, it was just, the tone was just overall, and then.
For about $80, right?
Yeah.
Each of your kits are around that.
That's, he had a P bass, so that one is, was it $69.99 or, you know, so that's, it's incredible.
It's awesome.
This one here. This is my guitar that I do a lot of. I love the guitar, but you can see it's been Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I can't leave crap alone. You know, I don't have a guitar. You know, if you try going through my collection, try to find a guitar that's stock.
Right.
No luck. No luck. You know. No chance. And you know what? If you look at, if you don't mind, let me digress here a little
that's
bit.
That's why we're here.
I mean, you look at the people that mess with their stuff.
Uh-huh.
Les Paul.
Yeah,
Eddie Van Halen.
Right.
I mean, I was just watching a video.
They make it their own.
Yeah, and I was, well, Blackie was talking about, you know, with Eric Clapton. My understanding of that was a collaboration. He went to the music store and bought like a half dozen guitars, whatever, and just started mixing and matching until they got the one that he liked the best. And, you know, I was watching a video the other day about Jimmy Page talking about his number one and about, you know, some of the changes they did on that one.
Right.
So, but anyways, on this one here, what I did was, you can see the this plate doesn't stay down anymore because I stripped out the screws. I'm constantly pulling this thing off. So I got to do a little repair job there. But what I did is this has our five-way single volume, single tone kit in it. Okay. And then what I did was I had this little mini toggle. Normally what I have a toggle in there is I have it in there just to jumper the bridge and neck pickup together so I can still get that that middle position of a telly.
Let me focus this camera so it can see that guitar pretty clearly.
Okay.
I think that's good.
All right. So as I was saying, yeah, this guitar is, it's one of my ones that I'm constantly changing stuff on. You know, I'm trying different things out on it. But what I did was I got a switch here that is a three-play switch. Normally I have a switch in there that jumpers the bridge and neck pickups together. But I took that out and I put this switch in here. And I have a wire to this volume pot. And what it does is, in this position, the volume pot is 250K. In the middle, it's 500. And then it's 750.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So we get to hear all of
So we get to all of Now, you're probably not going to hear a huge difference, you know, but you will.
But if you start with the 250 and then jump to the 750, does it make a difference?
It's a little bit. You know, you might, you'll really notice it when you're playing, when you're sitting there playing it and when you're trying different pedals and stuff. It's like, oh, wow. You know, it's like guy, we did installing a Telecaster and I went from, it was a comparison video that we're going to be releasing here soon. And we did it before and after, and we stayed with the 250 because that's what was normal. And it, the dynamics just opened up when it was 250.
Right.
But then I started messing around with 500K and 750, and I ended up landing on the 500K. I thought just the guitar sounded better there, so that's what we did.
Okay.
But so like that's let me start with the 250. And then I'm gonna do 500. Here it's a little bit brighter than the 750. See, it changes a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit more dynamics, a little bit different on it. 750.
You can really hear it there.
Oop. That's 250 there. So, yeah, you can hear it. And then when you put the you know, your pedals to it, you know, and delays and stuff, that changes the characteristics of the tone and amplifies it more than this when you really, really start to notice it. And, you know, and there's, you know, for guys like me, I just like, you know, I want that, you know, as a shredder, I want that right tone. You know?
Right.
You know, it's like, it's got to be that mid-range brown tone sound, you know, kind of thing. And,
right.
You know, and so I'll usually go more of the 500, or actually I find like on bridge pickup, sometimes I like 250K, especially with humbuckers. That's been my thing with Gibsons and stuff like that, or traditionally 500K. And I went to 250K because it's so close to the bridge. It really, sometimes those guitars have that little harshness on them, you know, and with taking it to 250K, kind of rolls that off and smooths it out a little bit. And
do you get skeptics saying this sounds silly or far-fetched or ridiculous, or how much difference could it really make?
You know what? It's kind of all over the map. Mm-hmm. You know, I got a lot of people that say, this is genius, you know. I love those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody refers to me as a genius, like, okay, I'll take it, you know. Then I have those who just see it as a solderless system, you know, and say, oh, learn how to solder. Well, it's not a solderless system.
I see.
It's a tone, you know, enhancement system. It's an upgrade for your guitar. It's to make your guitar better.
Mm-hmm.
The solderless part of it is just a byproduct.
Mm.
You know, although I will admit, I know that most of my customers are buying it because
they don't have, you can screw wires instead of getting a soldering iron.
Exactly, and that's what they're into. That's what they feel more comfortable with. But what for those people, it's a huge bonus for them is what they're getting is a huge upgrade.
Right.
You know, and I think as far as tone purists, no, they all get it.
Mm.
You know, the guys that are really into tone, you know, they'll go out and they'll buy new pots for guitars. They're always constantly changing stuff. So, yeah, they get that aspect of it.
Okay.
You know, so it's the biggest.
So it's usually just people thinking, I don't need that. Mm-hmm. And they're probably not looking for tone upgrades or...
No, I have one friend of mine. When I was at the NAMM show a couple of years ago, he came by my booth, and we've been friends for like 30 years. Mm-hmm. Great guy, great guitar player. And he works in the industry, and he's like, oh, I see what you're trying to do, but I'm not sure if I get it. Because he's the type of guy who walks in the store, he'll play every guitar on the wall, and you know, until he finds that right one. Mm. And then he won't touch it. You know, and those are the guys, those customers I'll never have. Uh-huh. Because they don't want to touch nothing, they don't want to change nothing.
Right.
They like it the way it is.
Uh-huh.
They don't even want to touch the intonation. They'll take it to a service guy and have them tweak it. You know, the only thing they'll do is change strings.
Right,
you
know? Right. Interesting.
Yeah, but
that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else worth noting about these systems?
Buy many. They're great. I mean, I think it's long overdue.
Yeah.
I think it's something we really, really need.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people agree with me.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't see manufacturers improving their quality of electronics.
Right.
You know, they just want to make, you know, especially the ones coming out of China, where they want to just make a quick, fast, cheap guitar.
Right. What attracts me to the whole thing is you're just one guy in a garage, you know, with a shop designing electronic components. I think that's super unique, and it's had a dramatic effect on my own guitar. So, mm-hmm. You know, in terms of making weird music, I feel like this kit gives you more possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing I loved about it when I put it in my guitar. I was like, oh, now I can make it, I can get more of the country sound, or I can get more of the rock sound, or I can get more of the jazz sound.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It increased the diversity of my tonal capabilities. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people say tones in the fingers, but there is a mathematical limit in terms of frequency range and what you are able to get out of an instrument. Your fingers will do certain things, but they will not create give you above 1K.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome for me to see a kit made by a guy who's passionate about, you know, fixing guitars and expanding their horizons. Mm-hmm. So I think it's awesome.
And even, you know, like I was mentioning before, people have great fingers.
Right.
They're messing with their guitars too.
Yeah. So, absolutely.
I mean, it's, you know, it's there's so many, I mean, you can start with your fingers, under the strings, through the pickups, through the electronics, you know,
right,
and then in through that cable, you know,
yeah,
which we do.
Oh,
sell.
Oh yeah, you have cables.
We sell great cables too.
What's special about your cables?
Well, I like it. Well, we
besides that they're a cool color green.
I love cool colors. Yeah. We have green, purple, orange, black.
Uh-huh.
And what we do is we use Nutrix ends. So they got the kill switch on them.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
You know, and then they're gold.
They don't snap apart like those, like Planet Waves ones? Or
No.
Okay. These so how does the kill switch work?
So what it does is it shorts it out. So when you plug it in.
Oh, when it's not plugged in.
When it's not plugged in, it shorts out the signal.
See.
And then when you plug it in, then you have a signal.
That's cool.
Yeah. And what I did also I went with a lighter cable too. Because, you know, Monster and all them, they're getting a big fat, you know,
right,
Mugami and stuff like that. And
like 8 gauge.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you're dragging around a rope like you're at the gym, you know,
right.
You should be doing this. You know. So anyways, and with people nowadays doing more home recording,
because
that was the other thing, is I've had my recording gear on the table,
mm-hmm.
and I'll plug in the heavier cable, and boom, all my stuff's being dragged off because of the weight of the cable.
Right.
So I wanted a lighter weight cable, a smaller cable. Now, some people think, well, it's smaller, maybe it's not as good quality, but this is an excellent quality cable. I've actually A-B'd it with against the Mugami and against the Monster, and it's right there, the same quality, same frequencies and stuff. And yeah, and we priced it too, like this cable, 18-foot, $59.99 or $49.99. My goal was to keep it under $50. I have very little margin,
right?
But I just think it's stupid to pay $100 for a great cable.
Yeah,
when, you know, I think
what makes it a great cable,
the quality of it.
What makes a quality cable?
This is a Canary cable,
uh-huh.
and these are probably the best cables you can buy.
Uh-huh.
And with the Nutrix ends, probably the best ends you can buy, in my opinion.
Do you solder these yourself?
I do them myself.
Yeah. So you buy a spool of the cable and you've got the ends and then you make them.
I sat there and put it together and test it out, make sure it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's quality tested and yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so yeah, it's just, you know, it's a product that I think we like. We don't sell a lot of them, but you know, because we're not really a cable manufacturer. It's just something we offer under our. But I would like to sell more of them, but you know, I think what it is people. I think I'm starting to see more people going to smaller cable.
Hmm.
And I think once it catches on, they realize people realize like, oh yeah, you know what? You don't need a honking cable for good tone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just need a good solid quality cable,
and
that's what this is.
Do you bundle the cable with the kit for any price?
Wow.
Sorry.
I guess I could, yeah. Yeah,
I was just curious.
Make weird music special.
Yeah. All right, well, if we do anything like that, we'll put it on the website.
Definitely. Well, we will.
Cool.
We will. And then, obviously, we sell t-shirts.
Yeah,
a cool logo.
It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to make sure, you know, our product, let's face it, it's a geeky product, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not shiny.
No, there's nothing sexy about potentiometers. Those cables, though.
Cables a little sexy, but potentiometers, the switches, no. So I wanted to have a cool logo.
Yeah.
So and I wanted to use a name that was very familiar, one that I didn't have to worry about, you know. Because I look at, you know, I open up the magazines and it's KBG or KBC or KDD or whatever, you know, initials and, you know, somebody's last name or whatever. And it's like, you know, I want to use something. I remember what really got me was, I remember I was a kid and there was a company that's still around called Badass.
Mm.
And I remember as a kid, it's like, okay, guitar wasn't cool unless you had a Badass bridge on it.
Right.
You know, and I wanted to bring that vibe back. I think it kind of got lost unless because everybody's got real technical names now. And I thought, so I wanted to grab something that people remember.
Yeah.
You know, and then I hired cartoon artist, drew this logo for me.
That's cool.
He used to work for Todd McFarlane, guy named Jay Photos, and brilliant, brilliant artist. And I was really pleased with the outcome of what he drew up. And yeah.
Cool.
So we sell these shirts. Pick up our shirts.
Shirts, cables, kits, picks, it looks like.
Yeah, we got picks too, yes. We have, this year, we try to change them up every year. This year we have one of the Dalrin type material.
Nice.
These are like a jumbo jazz.
I actually need some of these. I'm doing a video on pointy picks.
There
right
you go.
There. Dalrin. I've got a Dalrin triangular pick. So.
There you go. That's yours.
All
whatever
right.
size you want.
Yeah, 73. That's it.
Yeah.
So okay, cool.
We got different sizes. And, you know, next year might be something totally different. Last year it was just a regular celluloid type pick. And, you know, so.
No, Dalrin's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate your
this
time.
This is awesome.
All right, cool.
Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.